Hello, everybody on the party line. This is the first day of the second week of the fourth year of party line service for most listeners, but it's just the first day of the second week for many new friends who were welcome on the line for the first time last week. For as our old party liners know, we don't generally have much worry or trouble on the party line. As life goes on from day to day in our party line town, we have everyday problems to solve. But we also have a great deal of human everyday fun and good-natured gossip. It just so happened that when we got back on the party line last week, a rather unusual situation had developed in the life of Marilyn Owens, one of the newest members of the community, who was deserted early this year by her husband and left with a small daughter to support. Marilyn suddenly is confronted with this question. Has her husband any claim on her sympathy and trust when he finds himself in serious trouble? We'll take up Marilyn's story in just a minute. But first, I want you to know it certainly is a great privilege to be with you again, especially now when we regular party liners can introduce you, our new friends, to so excellent a product as Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin. I certainly wish that the old-timers on the line could cut right in now and tell you newcomers about how fine a medicine Syrup Pepsin is and how it's helped so many people just like you. Syrup Pepsin, combined with laxative senna compound, is made according to the original prescription of Dr. W.B. Caldwell, beloved country doctor of Monticello, Illinois. At first, Dr. Caldwell prescribed his medicine personally for each of his patients. But soon the demand became so great that a big, modern, sunlighted laboratory was set up in the good doctor's own hometown so that the tens of thousands of American families who wanted it could buy it at their own drugstore. The people in the little town of Monticello are mighty proud of what Dr. Caldwell and his well-known Syrup Pepsin have accomplished. Dr. Caldwell meant it to be a family medicine, so that when anybody in the family is feeling out of sorts, headachy, dizzy, and short-tempered due to faulty elimination, you can just give them a little Syrup Pepsin and see if it doesn't set them to rights again. Syrup Pepsin is your helper. Now be a real party liner and let it help you beginning today. Stop in at your druggist and get a big family-sized bottle of Dr. Caldwell's Syrup Pepsin and keep it always in your medicine cabinet. It costs very little and it lasts a long time. Ask your druggist for Syrup Pepsin, spelled S-Y-R-U-P, Syrup, P-E-P-S-I-N, Pepsin. Syrup Pepsin. Early this year, Carlton Ross came to Monticello to work as a chemist. After several months, his sister, Mrs. Marilyn Owens, and her small daughter, Kitty, came to make their home with him in Monticello. Though she's never spoken about her husband, gossip has it that he had treated her and Kitty very badly and had finally deserted them. The day came when our friends in Monticello were going on a holiday picnic. At the very last moment, Marilyn suddenly told her brother that she had decided not to go, blaming a stubborn headache, which she said would make her poor company for the others. That's how Wilhelmina, or Aunt Willie as most of us call her, happened to walk in on a tense and dramatic situation in Marilyn's life. Aunt Willie went over to see if she could do anything to help Marilyn. And when she saw almost at a glance that Marilyn was hiding someone in the house, she left, commanding Marilyn to follow her over to her own house within a few minutes. Now, Aunt Willie is home again, preparing a lunch in the kitchen, just as Marilyn enters.
Well, there you are, Marilyn.
Oh, Aunt Willie, I feel as if I just escaped from prison.
Well, as far as I can see, there's nobody chasing after you. Come here and sit down now and catch your breath.
Oh, thank you. I am a little out of breath.
As soon as you get some back, you drink this glass of tomato juice.
Oh, well, thank you, but really, I couldn't eat a thing.
It's fresh and it's cool, but not too cold. It'll do you good, especially if you're feeling upset. Who told you to eat anything? You just drink this down now, no nonsense.
But really,
Drink it?
Yes, Aunt Willie.
There. That's better.
Oh, really tastes good. And I didn't think I could swallow a mouthful.
Down with the whole thing now. Then you can tell me why all this excitement, what it's all about. No sense talking on an empty stomach.
I haven't any right to come to you with my troubles, Aunt Willie. I wouldn't have dreamed of doing it if
I hadn't walked right smack into the midst of the whole business. It's a lucky thing I caught sight of your brother driving by here without you in the car. A headache keeping you home from a picnic. I'm surprised he'd believe such a silly story.
I'm so glad he did. I don't know what I'd have done if Carlton hadn't taken me at my word. I've sworn to myself that I'd never worry my brother with any more of my problems. He's had enough as it is.
If it was the other way around and he was having problems on his hands, I suppose you wouldn't want to know about it.
Oh, but that's different. It's easier for a woman to take on other people's troubles. A man has enough things on his mind without that.
Fine rubbish, that is. Wouldn't be surprised if that's one reason you've had as much trouble as you've had. But never mind that. Finished with the tomato juice?
Yes. Thank you ever so much. I feel much better already.
Now then, let's begin at the beginning. I just had a good notion before I stepped into your house that your husband had popped up out of nowhere. Now, what'd that fellow want with you?
Before I tell you, don't you want me to tell you something about Jack and me and why we're separated?
Well, you can if you want to. But I can probably make a pretty good guess without it.
Well, I met Jack while I was still in the university in my second year.
And he swept you off your feet and you got married without finishing school.
How did you know that?
Just guessing. Go on.
Jack left school, too. His father was... Well, he had a good deal of money and...
And Jack helped to spend that until your father-in-law began to lose out around 1929-30 or thereabout.
Yes. But who told...
Oh, nobody told me. Your story's a whole lot like a lot of other stories, my dear. But go on.
After a while, I realized that I'd have to do something to keep us going. But that didn't matter. I was glad to do that. Except that it meant I had to leave Kitty with someone else while I worked. Oh, but none of those things. They wouldn't have mattered if it hadn't been for...
For your romance falling to pieces around your feet.
Oh, at first I couldn't believe it, Aunt Willie. When I first knew that Jack went out with other girls, I just wouldn't believe it. I thought our love meant to him what it did to me. Everything in the world.
Mm.
He'd been so kind and so lovable, and we'd been so happy together. It took a long, long time before I finally admitted to myself that, well, that I'd just been living in a dream.
Sounds to me like you've had reality enough in your life. Not much of a dream to it.
Well, I guess I kept hoping against hope that Jack would change and he'd be the kind of a person I first thought he was.
10 or 11 years is a long time to keep hoping with so little to go on.
I know. But I guess you just can't help yourself. Last winter, when Jack left me and Kitty for the longest time he'd ever been gone, I made up my mind that I'd put an end to the kind of life we'd been living. My brother had asked me so often to come and make a home for him down here, and, well, at last I decided that was the thing to do.
So you came down here, and all summer there was never a sight nor a sign of your husband to spoil the peaceful life you were living down here.
I was really beginning to know a kind of a happiness again, until this morning. And then all of a sudden, Jack was there at the door. That was the last thing in the world that I would have thought of this morning. You know, Aunt Willie, I could never in the world have dreamed that he'd come to tell me such a horrible, unbelievable story.
Well, now that we've finally got to it, what do you want? Don't tell me he expects to come down here and have you and Carlton take him into your house.
Oh, no. It's much worse than that, Aunt Willie.
I don't see what that could be. He wants money, I'll bet.
Oh, if only that were all. He does want money, but for the most awful reason. I just can't believe it. When I think of it, it's like thinking of something I dreamed.
Well, what is it? I suppose he's gone and taken some money that didn't belong to him, and now he's got to put it back?
No, Aunt Willie. Last week, he was out at a roadhouse. He said it was a business party.
Mm-hmm.
And driving back to town, he must have had too much to drink. Aunt Willie, he ran into a poor old man and killed him and drove on without stopping.
Well, go on.
Didn't you hear what I said?
Certainly, I heard what you said.
But, Aunt Willie, don't you realize? He killed someone. He killed a poor old man who was selling newspapers, and he drove on without stopping. Oh, Aunt Willie, how could he? I could have believed anything of Jack except that.
Hmm. Well, what's the rest of the story?
Well, there was a story in the papers the next day. The police are looking for the drunken driver of an expensive roadster. And they described just the car that Jack was driving.
Where'd he get the money for an expensive roadster, if I may ask?
Well, it wasn't his. It belonged to... Well, to a girl he was with.
Oh, it did it. That's interesting. And so?
Jack said they haven't traced him yet, but they're bound to. The girl he was with happened to be married. She told her husband that while she was in a movie, the car was stolen, and that it was brought back to her address later, with a smashed headlight, as if it had been in an accident. Jack said the police knows whose car it was, and they'll surely find out the whole story sooner or later.
And then he wants to run away, I suppose. Wants money from you so that he can clear out of the country.
Yes. He wants $1,000. Oh, I begged him to give himself up, but he won't do it. He says that it would bring disgrace on me and Kitty. Especially on Kitty. I don't know what to think, Aunt Willie. I don't know if he's a coward and wants to save himself from a jail sentence, or whether he really ought to run away so that Kitty won't have the stigma of a father in jail.
I've got my own ideas about that. What are you going to do about it? You want to get the money for him?
What? I don't know what to do. He says he'll take his own life if he can't have the money to run away.
Well, I think I'd take my chances on that.
I don't know, Aunt Willie. I couldn't forgive myself ever if anything like that happened. And it might. I don't know what Jack would do if he'd do a thing like this, running down an old man and not even stopping to see if he could help him.
I wish you'd just tell me something.
Yes, Aunt Willie, what?
When you and your husband were living together, did he ever hit you?
Hit me? Why, no, of course not. Jack wouldn't dream of doing such a thing.
Don't say. Sure he never slapped your face and took you by the arm and shook you?
Oh, no, never. Well, he just isn't that kind of a person. He was terribly cruel in other ways, but really, I don't think he ever actually knew he was being cruel.
I suppose he was very sweet and nice to you in front of company and then roared like a lion when the two of you were alone?
Oh, no, he wasn't like that at all. He wasn't ever angry. He was, well, more like a sweet, spoiled child who got his own way by winding everyone around his little finger. I don't think I've ever seen him angry. He was always courteous. Horribly courteous. When we were alone or when we had company, it didn't matter. It was always the same.
That's more or less what I thought. Marilyn, you get that young man over here. I want to talk to him.
Oh, no, Aunt Willie. He doesn't want anyone to know he's here. He has no idea that I'd tell you about this.
So he doesn't want anybody to know he's here, huh? Well, that settles it. You get him over here, 1, 2, 3. I'm getting real anxious to have a talk with your highly interesting husband, my dear.
Now, what has Marilyn done? She's told Aunt Willie everything about Jack and his tragic, shocking story. Aunt Willie, if we know her, will insist on having her way. Will this make matters worse, or will it by any chance lead to a solution of Marilyn's unhappy problem? Partyline Mother, I wonder if you fully realize your daily responsibility to your family. Do you know that you are charged with the responsibility of seeing to it that every member of the family is kept well and fit for their daily work? You are the one who must keep the children healthy. You must see that you yourself are healthy so that you can keep watch over the other members of the family. This time of year is a critical time for you as the health sentinel for the family. September brings school days, work days, and their new routine. Inner workings get out of order. Now, if never before, you must be sure that there's a big family-sized bottle of Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin in the medicine cabinet. And be sure, Mother, that it is syrup pepsin, no harsh or unknown cheap laxatives. Isn't your family's health worth any amount of money? All right, then, stop in at your druggist today and get the big family-sized bottle of Dr. Caldwell's syrup pepsin. Tomorrow. So Aunt Willie wants to see Marilyn Owen's husband. What for, I wonder? Let's all find out tomorrow on The Party Line.